Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20, and we'll jump into the lesson this morning. Proverbs chapter 20. For those of you that are our guests today, we have been studying lessons out of the book of Proverbs on the matter of wisdom, and we're taking 100 lessons out of the book of Proverbs. Is it working, Tim? Yeah, it's working. Hit play. We're taking 100 lessons out of the book of Proverbs on the subject of wisdom, okay? And we're on lesson number 64 this morning in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 6. I want to show you a verse coming up. And of course, two lessons ago, we talked about the living life wisely means you live in consideration of the poor. And you know what that means and everything. We talked about that a couple of Sundays. Look at chapter 21, verse number 13. I ran across this verse in looking ahead to chapter 21 this past week. Look at verse 13. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. So there again is another reason why it's proper and right for us and wise to always take into consideration the poor. We'll always have the poor with us. Again, you got to be careful that you don't get conned or tricked into helping somebody that doesn't really need help. The best and safest way to do that is help through your church. Help through your church and help the family of God. Okay? Help Christian brothers, Christian sisters. That's the best way to make sure, because you don't want to just be frivolous with the extra money that you have. Okay? So consider the poor. The Bible says if we hear the cry of the poor and ignore it, when we cry, our cry won't be heard. I'm taking that to mean in prayer. So, it could be a critical thing when it comes to your prayer life and getting your own prayers answered. So take that in mind. We talked last Sunday about the fact that living life wisely is to abstain from all alcoholic beverages. That comes from chapter 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Now, you know, I said last week, a lot of people will argue about the subject of wine in the New Testament because supposedly Jesus turned water into wine. You've got to study all the laws of fermentation and all that stuff to break down all those instances in the New Testament. But I'll guarantee you that Jesus Christ never made an intoxicating beverage. I'll promise you that much, okay? The Bible says, whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Strong drink is deceitful. Now, the safest and best way to stay away from being deceived is just be a teetotaler. Abstain from it, okay? You don't need it, folks. There's plenty of ways to enjoy life apart from alcoholic beverages, okay? That's the number one drug in America. I don't care what they say about cocaine. And Brother Shanko, you work in the prison ministry. You could probably verify that. Probably more people in prison because of alcohol than drugs for sure or anything else. So just abstain from it, folks. That's living life wisely, okay? Now, we're dropping down to verse number 6 this morning. Chapter 20 and verse number 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? This is a simple lesson, lesson number 64, and yet it may be one of the most crucial and critical lessons as far as living life wisely is concerned. Living life wisely involves understanding the value of faithfulness. The value of faithfulness. Understanding the value of faithfulness. The simple teaching of this verse tells us it is very rare to find a person of faithfulness, a faithful man who can find. You see, friend, here's what the Bible is saying here. The greatest asset a man can claim is that of faithfulness. That's the greatest asset a man can claim. The word means established or trustworthy. Established or trustworthy. A faithful man, a trustworthy man, an established man who can find. They are rare, okay? Now, some say the greatest ability is availability. And there's a lot of truth to that. But your availability matters very little if you have no dependability, okay? You got a chance to do something in the Lord's work, and you make yourself available to do it. But if you're not dependable, all that availability is going to come to naught. So the most crucial asset in life is that of faithfulness, trustworthiness. Faithfulness makes you dependable. Now, the Bible says here, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. People like to promote their gifts and their talents, the talents that they possess. And there's nothing wrong with that. There are many gifted and talented people, people of great ability in all kinds of areas. You know, that's what you do when you fill out a resume. And there's nothing wrong with it, filling out a resume for a new job or a change in positions. You're putting down on paper the areas in which you're gifted. You're putting down on paper the areas in which you're talented. This is my background. This is my experience. This is my education. This is what I've done. And if you're in some kind of business where you've been in charge of some kind of project or something, or you come up with some kind of product, you include that on the resume. And nothing wrong with that. That's what resumes are for. But I tell you what, the greatest thing that you could put down on a resume, according to the Word of God, is that you're just faithful. Faithfulness. Faithfulness is the greatest asset according to the Bible. All the gifts and all the talent and all the abilities won't matter a hill of beans if you're not trustworthy, if you're not faithful. That is the most key issue. How many times have you put on a resume, "I am faithful"? You know, maybe you've done that. I don't know. I haven't done a resume for a number of years, but maybe you put on there, you know, "I had this kind of attendance record at work. I only missed so many." I remember when I met Wayne Rayburn, his wife visited here because of her grandson over in Dwight. And I was teaching Justin up at Providence Baptist College at the time. And when I went to visit in the home after she visited here and I met Wayne Rayburn, he was unsaved, 68 years of age. He got saved that night, been here ever since. You've seen him downstairs all the time now. But I knew once Wayne got saved, I figured if he'd ever come to church, he'd get in. He missed 5 days of work in his life before he retired. 5 days. Now, he had vacation days, stuff like that, but he missed 5 days of work. He could count them on one hand. He worked for A.O. Smith, okay, when A.O. or Roper, one of the two, when the two were in town here. He worked, and he never missed. Now, I thought to myself, you know, and I didn't know that when he got saved. We were talking about, or maybe before he got saved, we were talking in the house there. But when I heard that, I thought to myself, if that man ever gets coming to church, he'll never get out. Because he that's his character, okay? If faithfulness is a quality, a characteristic that unsaved people can have. Just be faithful. Just be trustworthy, okay? You get a person like that saved, boy, they make good Christians. Make good followers of Christ because they got the character and the asset of faithfulness. The truth is that faithfulness, that characteristic, may not make the headline on anybody's resume, but it should be considered the number one factor. Just faithfulness, faithfulness. In the Bible, God is called the faithful God. He's called the faithful God several times. Jesus Christ is called faithful. He's the merciful and faithful high priest. In the Bible, Abraham is called faithful. He's the father of the faithful, in fact. Moses is called faithful. Samuel is called faithful. David is called faithful. Hanani is called faithful. Hananiah is called faithful. Uriah is called faithful. Zechariah is called faithful. Daniel is called faithful. Paul is called faithful. Timothy is called faithful. Epaphras is called faithful. Tychicus is called faithful. How'd you like a name like that? Tychicus is called faithful. Onesimus is called faithful. Silvanus is called faithful. You say, what's your point in going through that list? Some of those names are familiar to you. Some of those names are unfamiliar to you, possibly. They were unfamiliar to me. I mean, you read them, but you don't know much about them. The only thing that was said about some of these people is that they were faithful. Now, of course, David, a lot more is said about David than that. A lot more is said about Moses than that. A lot more is said about God than that. A lot more said about Daniel than he was faithful. But, hey, the bottom line is familiar, unfamiliar, well-known or little-known. These people had the most important asset and characteristic in life, a faithful man who can find. There's not an overwhelming number of people who are faithful. Are any of you men in a position of hiring where you work? You are responsible for some form of hiring where you work. Anybody? I know some of you, I didn't know if anybody in this class was, but you talk to guys who are in positions of hiring in the church. And I'll tell you something, they pull their hair out because it's so hard to find people who'll just show up. Just show up. They get people to fill out applications, and they get hired come one day and never show up again. I mean, it's incredible, you know. And so this matter of faithfulness. Let me say this morning about this matter of faithfulness. For us, for those of us who are saved, for Christian people, it is required. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You say, well, now, how does that apply to me, a steward? You know, first of all, I guess we've got to find out, what is a steward? Well, a steward is a man who takes care of that which belongs to somebody else. That's what a steward is. So you've got a man who owns a lot of property, and he owns a lot of equipment, and he has some crops, and he has an orchard, and he has some herds. You know, he has animals, livestock, and he owns it all. But he hires a man to be his steward. Okay? The steward doesn't own any of it. But the steward is responsible to manage and oversee everything that belongs to that landowner. Okay? He's responsible for the crops. He's responsible for the equipment. He's responsible for the laborers. He's responsible for the livestock. He's responsible for it all. He's responsible to make sure the bills get paid, the money that's coming in gets deposited. He doesn't own it. None of it belongs to him. But he manages it for the owner, okay? So a steward is one who has been given complete control over that which belongs to another man. Now, if you are in that position, if you were the landowner, if you were the business owner, and you were going to hire a steward, what's the number one characteristic you would look for? I'll promise you, I don't think you'd look for intellect. And I don't think you'd look for educational background. I don't think you'd look for those things. I think you'd look for trustworthiness. Can I trust this guy? Is he faithful? Will he show up? Will he work hard? Will he be here when he's supposed to be? Because I'm turning over everything that I own to his care. All of my assets, all of the liabilities, he's managing all of it. If there's anything I want in that man, it's faithfulness. Look at, you got your Bible to Proverbs there? Look at chapter 25. Look at chapter 25. Look what the Bible says about an unfaithful man. Boy, you talk about a good analogy here. Look at verse 19, 25:19. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Now, which one of those are pleasant? Huh? You ever had a broken tooth? Oh, it's horrible. It's horrible. You ever had a foot out of joint? You can't put any weight on it. I mean, it's just it's cumbersome. It affects everything you do. Now, the Bible says confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble. And by the way, that's when you need them the most. When things are going well, you know, okay, maybe we can slide by here. But boy, when it's a time of trouble, when the pressure's on, that's when you need somebody who's trustworthy. And if your confidence has to be placed in somebody who is unfaithful, the Bible says it's like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. That's not pleasant, folks. In fact, it's difficult to deal with. That's what God is saying here. Now, listen very carefully, okay? So, the number one requirement for a steward is that he is faithful. Listen again. Moreover, it is required in stewards. Not that a man be found intellectual. Not in a man be found talented. Not that a man be found gifted with ability. That's not what it says. That a man be found faithful. I'll guarantee you, I would take a faithful man 1,000 times over somebody who's talented and unfaithful. So, because the faithful man will always, it's kind of like the story of the tortoise and the hare. The faithful man is the old tortoise, okay? And the talented and the sometimes, now, is it possible to have the combination of faithfulness, talent, and ability? Sure it is. And there's a lot of people like that. Brother, I'm telling you what, if you can't have but one of them, be faithful. That old faithful man is like that tortoise. He's not going to set the woods on fire. He's a plodder. But when it's all said and done, he'll come out ahead of the person who's gifted and talented, has a lot of ability, but hasn't learned to be trustworthy. Hasn't learned to be found faithful. Now, it's required in a steward that we be found faithful. You and I are stewards. You and I are stewards. We do not own anything. You say, no, wait a minute, Brother Angel. I own my home. I own my vehicles. I, you know, I have my wife. I don't own her, but she's mine. This is my husband. What about my children? Let me tell you something, friend. Everything we have belongs to God. Everything. It all belongs to Him. And by the way, I don't just know that from experience. I know that from Scripture. Because in the book of Job over there, when Satan accused Job to God, Satan said to God, "The only reason Job serves you is because you blessed him and given him all those things." And God said, "Satan, that's not true. I know Job's character. And to prove it, I'm going to tell you what. Listen to what it says. I wrote it down. All that he hath is in thy power." God took everything Job had and gave it to Satan. Now, a simple illustration here. See, this pen is the pen that the church gave me, I think, on my 10th anniversary here at Faith Baptist Church. It's a nice pen. It's one of those Waterman pens. That's a nice pen, lifetime pen. They'll replace it if something goes wrong. Okay? This pen, you know, if I gave it to Tom to use today, he could use it. In fact, I might give it to him to use for a month because he has no pen and can't get one for a month. Okay? So I give it to him to use. Now, he could use it, but he has no power to give it to Jeff. Why? Because it's not his. But if I let Tom use this pen, and then I say, "Brother Ryan, I want you to get that pen that belongs to that pen that Tom has and give it to Brother Jeff," he could do that because the pen doesn't belong to Tom. The pen belongs to me. So God said to Satan, "See everything Job has? You can have it." Now, if God could give it to Job, who did it belong to? It belonged to God. And you know what he gave us? You know what he gave away? He gave away his sheep. He gave away his camel. He gave away his donkeys. He gave away his oxen. He gave away his children. Those kids aren't mine. They're God's gift to me and my wife. They're on loan to us. Now, when it comes to this world, yes, they're mine. I want to protect them, feed them, take care of them, try to rear them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But when it's all said and done, folks, who do those kids belong to? They're God's. They're God's. They're God's children. Okay? So, I am a steward. That's what I am. I am a steward. My wife belongs to God. My marriage belongs to God. My children belong to God. My vehicles belong to God. My house belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. I am a steward. What is the requirement for a steward? Faithfulness. Faithfulness. You know what I need to be? You know what? When it comes to my marriage, you know what I need to be? I need to be faithful. I don't have to be super husband. I don't have to be. That pressure is not on me. I don't have to be Superman, but I need to be faithful. I don't have to be super dad, but I need to be faithful dad. I don't have to be super pastor. I'm not. If I had to be super pastor, I couldn't be. But I can be faithful. I can be faithful. When it comes to my house, I can be faithful with the house that God's given me. When it comes to my vehicles, I can be faithful with the things that God has given me. That's the number one requirement in a steward, that we're found faithful. This is the church where I belong. I'm not just a pastor here. I belong here. I'm a member here. You know what? This is not my church. It's not your church. It's His church. I'm here to help oversee it and be a part of it. And you know what I need to be? Faithful. That's the requirement. And you know what? That takes the pressure off. It takes the stress off because I maybe can't be smart. I maybe can't be gifted. I may not be talented, but bless the Lord. Thank God I can be faithful. Okay? Every one of us can be. That is the thing that is required. Living life wisely understands the importance of faithfulness. Don't concentrate. Sometimes new Christians or new people in the church concentrate on the things, "Oh man, I get scared. I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't." Don't concentrate on what you can't do. Concentrate on what you can do. What you can do is be faithful. Everybody can be faithful. Everybody can be faithful. The Bible says that most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. You know, and it doesn't condemn that. Man, I have this ability. I have this talent. I have this experience. I have this on my resume. But a faithful man, who can find? Trustworthy, dependable. You know, when I asked Brother Caleb to come work here, before I asked Brother Caleb to come work here, you know what I did? I checked his attendance record at school. I was at school. Same thing with Jason Minkowski. I taught Jason, so I knew that. I mean, I saw him every week. You know, the thing you look for in people is faithfulness. Faithfulness. Here's a principle I learned years and years ago. You don't give unfaithful people responsibility to make them faithful. Sometimes folks will do that. Oh, man, here's a guy. He's struggling in the area of faithfulness. Let's give him a responsibility, and that'll make him faithful. You're going to be in trouble. It's a character issue. You take a faithful man, and you give them responsibility. And then when the pressure's on, you don't have a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. And brother, believe you me, when the pressure's on, you don't need a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. That's the honest truth. And I took a long time on that this morning for a simple lesson because I'll be honest with you, friend, I don't know of a more critical issue than that right there in life. Just be faithful. Boy, by the way, what a good thing to tell married couples to be, amen? Be faithful to each other, okay? Be faithful to each other. That's good. Okay, we're going to quit about 3 minutes early this morning. I don't want to start next week's another lesson, but we'll be back up here next Sunday.